Live from the College of Communication, Arts, and Sciences at Michigan State University, it is now time to go beyond the X's and the O's with WKAR's Current Sports.
You want to go after an athlete, one of my athletes, come after me. I'm a man. I'm 40.
My style is impetuous. My defense is impregnable.
Well, I'm the best corner in the game. When you try me with a star receiver like Crabtree, that's the result you're going to get.
Yes, did I express to them I was mad? I was furious. Just furious.
I know my wife will at least shut fake one time.
We're talking about practice, not a game.
And I told our players, you need to be more like a dog. We don't need a bunch of cats in here. Looking in the mirror. Do I look good? I got my extra bands on. I got my other shoes on. Be a dog. We don't need no meows. We don't need no cat.
Here's your host, L. Martin.
What is up, beautiful people? You are now locked into WKAR's Current Sports. I am your host, L. Martin. On this Thursday, September 14th, 2017. Thank you so much for allowing us to be a part of your weekday afternoon. Also, folks, it's a busy week here at WKAR as WKAR's fall fundraising campaign is underway, and your gift makes a difference. Every day you tune into WKAR for in-depth news coverage and sports coverage, along with quality classical music programming, you can support the news that matters and the music that inspires you when you give now at WKAR.org and when you become a sustainer of at least $10 a month. Get this, if you do that, we will hook you up with a pair of funky, fresh WKAR socks. Isaac, I've seen these socks. Have you seen them? They are on our WKAR website. Have you got a pair yet?
I have not copped a pair yet, but I remember junior year in high school, I wanted to start my trend by rocking some cool socks. So these will be in my collection.
For sure. They are very trendy, very stylish, all right? So again, if you become a sustainer of at least $10 a month, those socks are yours, all right? Support another year of outstanding programming for the Capital Region when you give now at WKAR.org. Well, on today's Current Sports, we've got a loaded hour of sports talk coming your way as we will talk about Jamel Hill, Michigan State University alum, who has made a ton of headlines due to her Twitter rant that she had concerning the President of the United States earlier this week. We will address the topic of media, sports, and politics. When media, sports, and politics collide, when does expressing your opinion go too far? When does that line get crossed? We'll talk about that. Also, we'll talk about Magic Johnson turning down a job with the Detroit Pistons. We'll talk some MSU football with Otis Wiley, former Michigan State safety from 05 to 08. He'll give his thoughts on what he's seen from the Spartans through 2 weeks of action. And with it being Thursday, you guys know we love to hop into our Current Sports time machine to take a look at exactly what happened on this particular date in sports history. We call it Throwback Thursday. Trust, a few interesting moments happened on this particular date in sports history. You don't want to miss that. And hey, you know you can be a part of the fun by simply picking up that phone and dialing 517-355-WKAR. That's 517-355-9527. You can go to our Facebook page at facebook.com/currentsports, where you can watch via live stream, and you can even tweet us to be a part of the convo at WKAR_sports. That's how you can tweet the show or tweet me directly at Al Martin, WKAR. You know what's next. Here are your Current Sports Quick Hit Headliners.
Get
All right, and we begin with Michigan State University alum and ESPN SportsCenter co-host, Jemele Hill, who issued a statement on Twitter last night in response to the outlash towards her after she tweeted on Monday night that President Donald Trump is a, quote, white supremacist who has largely surrounded himself with other white supremacists. Hill went on to tweet last night, my comments on Twitter expressed my personal beliefs. My regret is that my comments and the public way I made them painted ESPN in an unfair light. My respect for the company and colleagues remains unconditional, end quote. Now, ESPN announced on Tuesday via Twitter that the comments on Twitter from Jemele Hill regarding the president do not represent the position of ESPN. We have addressed this with Jemele, and she recognizes her actions were inappropriate. Now, several athletes have also showed their support of Jemele Hill, including current NFL free agent quarterback Colin Kaepernick, who tweeted out, we are with you, Jemele Hill. We'll have more on the Jemele Hill story in just a moment. Don't go anywhere. The number six MSU men's soccer team stayed undefeated last night as they topped number 19 Bowling Green 1-0. Ryan Sierakowski scored the lone goal for the Spartans, nailing a penalty kick just under the 53rd minute. It was Sierakowski's first goal of the season. This is the first time the Spartans have improved to 6-0 way back since 1968 when they were crowned as NCAA co-champions with the University of Maryland. Wow. The Spartans are next set to play the number 18 Michigan Wolverines this Sunday in the Battle of the Big Bear Trophy. The game will be played in Ann Arbor at noon and will air on the Big Ten Network. The Michigan State women's soccer team is set to play their first Big Ten opponent of the season as they host the Indiana Hoosiers tonight at DeMartin Stadium, kickoff scheduled for 7 p.m. Forward Jamie Cheslick and company are looking to bounce back from a 4-1 loss against number 17 Wake Forest. Now, before the loss against the Demon Deacons, the Spartans had a three-game win streak going, beating all three teams by one goal. We'll see if they can get back on the winning track again tonight against Indiana, 7 p.m. at DeMartin Stadium. All right, the Michigan State women's gymnastics team announced their schedule this week. Spartans will host five home meets against Bowling Green, Iowa, Penn State, and Illinois. The fifth home meet will be a quad meet with Rutgers, Pitt, Eastern Michigan. MSU will also host the Big Ten Conference Big Five meet, which is the final Big Ten meet of the season. The women's gymnastics team is coming off what was a whirlwind of a 2016 season, of course, after Dr. Larry Nassar was allegedly found for sexual assault during medical treatments. And again, 119 victims are all claiming that he was inappropriate. Now, the women's gymnastics season kicks off January 5th of 2018. So hopefully they can turn the page on a really disturbing chapter. All right. The Detroit Lions announced on Wednesday that they cut 2017 seventh-round pick and Eastern Michigan product Pat O'Connor and signed undrafted rookie Storm Norton. I love that first name. Who plays offensive tackle. O'Connor played at EMU from 2012 to 2016 and had 20 sacks, 166 total tackles, and 34 of them being tackles for loss. The Lions will be traveling to MetLife Stadium to play the New York Football Giants on Monday night on ESPN. Kickoff set for 8:30. And speaking of the Detroit Lions, the Lions still haven't said or made a comment on whether a season ticket holder still has season tickets after he allegedly uttered a racial slur toward another fan on Snapchat at the Cardinals-Lions game this past Sunday. Now, according to Fox 2 in Detroit, the season ticket holder, who is also a local business owner, posted a picture on Snapchat of two African-American fans sitting during the national anthem of the Cardinals-Lions game with the caption, quote, ignorant bleep. I think you can pretty much guess what that bleep is filled in for. The fan in question initially denied having any involvement with the photo, according to Fox 2, but then changed the story on a Facebook page and has now been deleted. Now, the fan has pleaded guilty since then, pleading to a misdemeanor charge of disorderly conduct. The fan given a 1-year suspended sentence with 80 hours of community service. He also was given a $235 fine. The team then stated, quote, providing our fans with a safe and enjoyable experience at all four field events is of the utmost importance and an absolute priority for our organization. A core component of our guest conduct policy is the expectation that all fans are respectful and considerate to each other, regardless of their personal beliefs or differences. The Detroit Tigers lost their fifth straight against the red-hot Cleveland Indians 5-3 on Tuesday. The Indians win, again, makes it, 21 straight, making it the AL record for the most consecutive wins, beating the Moneyball A's record back in 02. Buck Farmer credited with the loss for the Tigers, pitching four innings, letting up four earned runs, four walks, striking out seven. Brad Ausmus and James McCann were also tossed early on in the game, with McCann arguing the strike zone was unfair. A bit of controversy surrounded around that moment. We'll elaborate more on that later on this hour. But the Tigers look to end that five-game losing streak as they take on the Chicago White Sox at Comerica Park. First pitch scheduled. Well, the first pitch has just been thrown. 1:10 p.m. Chad Bell will start for the Tigers, while big game James Shields will take the mound for the White Sox. And the Detroit Pistons announced last night that single game tickets will go on sale on Saturday, with Upper Bowl tickets starting at $14. Very cheap to go check out the red, white, and royal blue in the new home of Little Caesars Arena. The Pistons had a 37-45 record. That's why these tickets are so cheap, right? 37-45 last year and finished 10th in the Eastern Conference. It's amazing how you can be 37-45 and still finish just, two spots out of the playoffs in the Eastern Conference. Crazy. All right, that wraps up your current sports quick hit headliners. If you want to be a part of the show, you know that number, 517-355-WKAR, 517-355-9527. Let's start the show.
You mentioned a couple times today you sort of emphasized diversity in the West Wing. You talked about the president being very clear after Charlottesville and denouncing all hate. I just wanted to read a comment from an influential African-American sportscaster from ESPN yesterday, who said Donald Trump is a white supremacist who has largely surrounded himself with other white supremacists. His rise is a direct result of white supremacy, period. He's unqualified and fit to be president. Why do you think, do you have a reaction to that? And is the president aware of that comment? And
I'm not sure if he's aware, but I think that's one of the more outrageous comments that anyone could make, and certainly something that I think is a fireable offense by ESPN.
If the president was so clear, as you said, why do you think influential African-American figures are saying things like
that? I'm not going to speak for that individual, but I know that the president has met, again, with people like Senator Scott, who are highly respected leaders in the African-American community. He's committed to working with them to bring the country together. I think that's where we need to be focused, not on outrageous statements like that one.
They continue to do outreach.
And that is how we start this Thursday afternoon version of WKAR's Current Sports. I am your host, Al Martin. And, you know, I didn't bring this up as a discussion topic on yesterday's show because I was still processing how I wanted to address this conversation concerning Michigan State alum hailing from Detroit, one of ESPN's biggest personalities, Jemele Hill. And I want to just pose the question to you all. for members of the media, you know, when sports and politics collide, which is something that we are seeing more and more and more of in 2017, much having to do with the election of President Donald Trump and other conversations such as Colin Kaepernick and that whole situation, Colin Kaepernick being unemployed, deciding to kneel during the national anthem, sparking up a ton of debate. Charlottesville, what happened out there? I mean, these are some interesting times that we are living in here in 2017. But as members of the media, when sports and politics collide, when does expressing your opinion go too far? And is there a line? That's the question. When do sports and politics, when they do collide, because they often do, when does expressing that individual, a part of the media, when does him or her expressing their opinion go too far? On Wednesday afternoon, what you just heard was administration spokesperson Sarah Huckabee Sanders, who was asked about the Jemele Hill controversy. Now, if you've been living under a rock and don't know what has been taking place as it pertains to Jemele Hill, well, she went on a Twitter rant on social media earlier this week, calling the president of the United States, Donald Trump, a white supremacist who has largely surrounded himself with other white supremacists. Now, this rant was started due to Jemele commenting on rock star Kid Rock performing at Little Caesars Arena. That is how the LCA is open, with a concert. And Kid Rock has been involved with a lot of controversy because there was a time when Kid Rock used to just flaunt a Confederate flag during his performances. There was actually a protest I saw outside of LCA earlier this week. And Rock, he wasn't pleased with how the Detroit Free Press painted him in a column. He was so displeased with the column, and actually he banned the Detroit Free Press from attending the concert. He did not issue any press credentials for the Detroit Free Press, which I believe is actually a former employer of Jemele Hill, right? Didn't Jemele Hill used to work for the Free? Yeah, right?
I do think so, yeah.
So, again, 2017, interesting times we're living in. But so Jemele went on this rant concerning President Donald Trump, and social media blew up. You had many people on social media and on television, on radio, just like we're doing here right now, weighing in and giving their thoughts on whether or not Jemele Hill was in the right or wrong. Sarah Huckabee Sanders went on to say, as you just heard, quote, "That is one of the more outrageous comments that anyone could make, and certainly something that is a fireable offense by ESPN. Sarah Huckabee Sanders basically saying that Jemele Hill should be fired for comments like that. This is the official spokesperson of the President of the United States calling upon a TV network to fire one of its highest profile employees because basically she was mean to the president online. That's how I look at it, at least. So the question, again, as a member of the media, when sports and politics collide, when does expressing your opinion go too far? Is there a line? First, I think it all depends on the company you work for. Jemele Hill has been on Current Sports before. We actually had a two-hour sit-down. It was the longest interview I've ever done, but we had a two-hour sit-down with Jemele Hill back in 2014, October of 2014, when she was named Grand Marshal of Michigan State's homecoming that year. So we set up the WKAR-TV studio on the first floor of the Communication Arts and Sciences building here on campus. And we allowed the campus to attend the taping. And I sat down, went one-on-one with Jemele for two straight hours. And it's so eerie because during that time in 2014, October of 2014, some news had broken about Bill Simmons, who is now with HBO, no longer with ESPN, but Ben Simmons being suspended for some thoughts that he gave. I forget what topic it was when it came to Bill. So it was a timely conversation with Jemele working for the mothership, with Jemele working for the worldwide leader in sports. I brought it up and I asked Jemele Hill this, and just listen to her response, because it's a response that sheds some light as to what is currently going on when it comes to her comments via Twitter concerning the president of the United States.
Now, you know, I was going to bring it up. Your colleague, Bill Simmons,
okay,
of course, is he has been suspended by ESPN for, I believe it was 3 weeks, mm-hmm. 3 weeks for his comments that he made about Roger Goodell, calling him a liar. And he basically kind of dared ESPN to do something about it. Now, there's the twist with the question. I don't want to ask you specifically about that. Mm-hmm. But in your industry, you want to keep it real. You keep it real on the air. But you have to kind of be aware of how far you toe on that line, right? I mean, how do you find that balance of keeping it real, but also keeping things in context?
Yeah, well, or where keeping it real goes wrong. Hey,
right? I was about to take the words out of my mouth. Exactly. Where keeping it real goes wrong.
Well, here's the thing. We're all professionals. I mean, and look, I've been suspended before, all right? So I was suspended in 2007, got my week sit down in a penalty box, and it was for something I wrote, not necessarily something I said on air.
Okay.
And I think what people have to understand is that it's not necessarily learning to edit yourself, learning how to have responsible opinions. That's not you keeping it any less real. It's just that you have to understand there's certain conversations that are great and sound good among your friends, mm-hmm. but ain't meant for TV. Okay?
Right, right.
And it's certain conversations that, you know, that you really want to make sure, because emotions are running high,
yeah,
that you are authoritative. You want to be an authority on it, of course, but you also want to be responsible. It's the balance we all juggle as broadcasters. A friend of mine told me this a long time ago. He said, the longer you're on television, the more you talk, you're going to wind up at times saying things that are stupid. Like, it's the nature of what we do. So you live with it, because if you feel like 80 to 90% of the time that you are within the responsible bounds of judgment, then, mm-hmm. then you're okay. I think most of us are fine with that. And I don't think any of us feel like we're being edited or told what to say or anything like that.
Right.
I think, look, we all know what that line is. And when you cross it, sometimes things happen. You move on, you learn from it, you know, big deal. So I think it's the nature of the job, honestly.
Wow. That was in 2014, ladies and gents. And now Jemele is a part of a firestorm on social media for her comments about the president of the United States. But there are a few things to unpack from what she just said. Probably the biggest takeaway when really dissecting the answer to that proposed question, to me, is that you have to evaluate the context in which Jemele Hill was addressing that question. She was talking about being careful about what you say on television, on the air. This situation with Jemele Hill, this is, I should say, her comments are ones that were put out into Twitterverse. She wasn't on ESPN SportsCenter's The Six. She wasn't doing a PTI roundtable with Tony Reality and the guys. She wasn't, the red light wasn't on. I mean, she probably could have been, you know, at a restaurant or at her house. She was on Twitter, her personal Twitter account, when she made those comments. Now, ESPN has been praised in the past for allowing its talent to have a voice, to push the envelope. You know, a few years ago, I read who is my journalistic idol, sports journalistic idol, in Stuart Scott. I read his memoir before he passed, and he had an entire chapter dedicated toward ESPN, and he praised the network for allowing him to be himself, to let his personality bleed through. He didn't feel like he was being muzzled or told what to say or what to do. ESPN allowed him to be him. ESPN has been praised for that in the past. However, because, again, they've been praised in the past for allowing its talent to have a voice, push the envelope with that voice, thus allowing that voice to be as big, brash, and bold as it wants to be. However, politics is a bit different. And I think that is something that ESPN in 2017 is realizing. It's a touchy subject because our nation, I believe now more so than ever, is so divided politically for numerous reasons. The question, though, should ESPN have stood by Jamil? That's another question I want to pose in this conversation. Should they have stood by Jamil Hill? And were they wrong for coming out on Twitter and basically saying, hey, we've talked to Jamil, and again, I'm paraphrasing here, we've talked to Jamil, and her opinions and personal beliefs do not speak on behalf of ESPN. She acknowledged that her tweets crossed that line, and it's how eerie was that, right? You heard Jamil Hill speak, and she says, you know that line, you know what that line is. And ESPN basically come out and saying in their statement, quote, she has acknowledged that her tweets crossed that line and has apologized for doing so. Sparked up reaction from multiple people out there, including media members. And I want to play a quick snippet from a man by the name of Heath Evans, who is a former NFL football player, now on-air talent for the NFL Network. Heath went to his social media and had this to say.
Good morning, beautiful people. I have been getting hit up all morning and some last night about my feelings and thoughts on Jamil Hill. The truth is, I'm not mad at Jamil. If anything, I'm proud of her for using her freedom of speech. And if I'm mad or angry or frustrated at anybody, I'm mad and angry and frustrated at the conservatives, because we constantly want to claim freedom of speech to voice our opinions and our thoughts and our feelings and our beliefs and not be ridiculed for them or not be fired for them or not be reprimanded for them. And then now what do we do when the tides are turned? We've got all these conservatives out there on Twitter and social media voicing their opinion. Fire, fire, fire for what? For freedom of speech. I understand it's SportsCenter. Maybe you don't want to mix your sports and politics, but it's her freedom of speech that this great country gives us. So conservatives, get the heck out of the way. Don't play the double standard. You know my alignment is mostly on the conservative side of thinking, but we can't be hypocritical and we can't show the double standard. So get over yourself and don't be part of the evil hate of this world that's wishing for people to get fired because they voice their opinion and their beliefs.
Heath Evans, on-air talent for the NFL Network, former NFL player, very honest with that rant. And it makes you think, because it's something that I'm, you know, myself being a member of the media, doing a daily sports talk radio show here at WKAR, public broadcasting, I am very mindful of, and again, it's why I took 48 hours before I decided to go on the air today and address this topic, because I had to think about it. I know personally where I stand when it comes to what Jamel put out. However, I always think twice when it comes to a story like this, that if I was to pick a side right now, live on the air, I know that there is probably going to be repercussions to pay. I'm sure that my boss is going to talk to me. My superiors are going to sit down and say, all right, Al, I don't know about this one. And it's a constant battle we have because opinions, of course, especially in this forum, opinions are what drive sports talk radio. But I'm always thinking twice about what I say and how I want to say it here on Current Sports as it pertains to certain topics that are not just sporting news, but dive into the realm of politics as well. Keith Evans had an interesting point, though. Is it fair for your employer to monitor what you say during your off hours? Because at the end of the day, it's about that organization monitoring their brand. They know that you are, if you're a member of the media and you work for a company such as WKAR, whatever I put out, I am representing, whether I like it or not, I'm representing the brand of WKAR, and I have to be mindful of that because what I put out there isn't just a perception of me. It's a perception of me, my colleagues at WKAR, my superiors here at WKAR. But then you have the conversation of free speech. What about free speech? The First Amendment of the United States of America, right? The United States Constitution prohibits the making of any law respecting an establishment of religion, ensuring that there is no prohibition on the free exercise of religion, abridging the freedom of speech, infringing on the freedom of the press, interfering with the right to peacefully assemble, or prohibiting the petitioning for a governmental redress of grievances. I mean, this is an amendment that was adopted on December 15th. Of 1791. Long time ago. Still a part of our Constitution, though. Thoughts? 517-355-WKAR, 517-355-9527 is the number to call. I see you, Apachu. I want to hit the first break. We'll come back. We'll get to Apachu and read a few of your comments. Again, if you want to call and weigh in on this, because it is a loaded question. It really is. We'll also get the thoughts of Engineer Isaac Constance as well. 517-355-WKAR. You are listening to WKAR's Current Sports. Welcome back to WKAR's Current Sports. I am your host, Al Martin. Just wrapped up segment A, addressing the Jemele Hill Twitter backlash that has just blown up. I mean, I saw Jason Whitlock on with Fox and Friends yesterday, you know, addressing it. We just played a bite from the White House. Sarah Huckabee Sanders basically calling for the job of Jemele Hill for her comments concerning the president of the United States. 517-355-WKAR, 517-355-9527 is the number to call. I see a few of you guys weighing in via social media. Steven, Mike, I'm gonna read those comments in just a moment, but we do have a caller on line one right now that wants to address this. Apachu, how you doing, my friend? Thanks so much for weighing in.
Oh, thank you, man. I've been under a rock. I never heard of it until now, but I've been coming home late and going to bed and missing my ESPN. So I
that's understandable then. You're grinding, Apache. We get that.
Yeah. I got a real job. You know what I'm saying?
Exactly, right? I'm stealing money over here.
Yeah, I heard that. I want one of them jobs, man. Anyway, right? I don't understand the difference with the exception of the glossary. I don't understand the difference between the Piston coach going off last year on the president and then the San Antonio coach going off on the president, how that's different. And I guess the big difference is the phrase white supremacists. Now, this country was founded on white supremacy and it's held together by white supremacy, bottom, point, blank, dead shot on. I mean, that's the reality. And he boasted about the people that helped him get in office, and they were white supremacists. And his policies are very cruel. But I think what's missing in this conversation is the undercurrent of how and why people are prepared to lose their jobs to make a statement of anger and protest over some of the things that are being said and done in this country. This country's in a panic, and at this stage, people are just talking. And we're lucky they're still talking, but we need to examine that undercurrent and that double standard. You know, I was shocked and pleased when I heard the Piston coach. I was shocked and I almost cried when I heard the San Antonio coach. Because them cats are on top, well, at least the San Antonio coach is, on top of the world, and he's putting his job on the line, his reputation. Because, you know, you raise a flag when you give your political opinion. You know, I'm self-employed. I have that luxury, at least somewhat, than other people. Otherwise, I wouldn't have a job. Mm-hmm. But anyway, that's my opinion. Thank you. I appreciate the topic.
Hey, thank you, Apachu. Appreciate you calling in and expressing your opinion on it. And, you know, really quick before I get the thoughts of Isaac, Mike Evans, he's watching via Facebook.com/currentsports. He's watching our live stream right now. And Mike weighs in and says that, quote, people mistake Twitter as a personal forum. But as long as it goes out to the public, it is exposed to public opinion. And although you're on your personal time, when you're a public figure, this is what to expect. And, you know, there's a part of me that agrees with Mike in saying this. You know, we know, Isaac. I mean, you're a student here at the School of Journalism at Michigan State University right now. And much like I was taught, I graduated in 2012, and during my 4 years here as a student at Michigan State in the J School, you know, I was taught that, hey, if you're going to become a member of the media and you're going to become a public figure, you have to understand that whatever you put out there, whether it be Facebook or Twitter or whatever social media platform, whatever you put out there, you are representing not only your own personal brand, but the company that pays your bills. And you have to be mindful of that. And Jamel, as you heard in that bite that we played from Current Sports TV 3 years ago, Jamel is mindful of that. But also Jamel is she's very opinionated. And when she feels something is wrong, Jamel is not going to bite her tongue, no matter who employs her, whether it be the mothership at ESPN. So then you have this conversation, you know, if you're going to put it out there. Yeah. Like Mike said, I mean, she had to expect this, right? Mm-hmm. I mean, when you say something like that, when you call the president of the United States a white supremacist, I mean, you have to expect that you're going to get some backlash for that, a lot of backlash for that. So it comes with the territory. But what are your thoughts? Just, you know, digesting. I know it's a lot to digest, but digesting, you know, what I've had to say the last 15 minutes and, you know, Apache just called in, what Mike had to say via Facebook. Just what are your thoughts? Where are you with this, Isaac?
This is a new media era, for one. And excuse my voice because I am a little bit sick here and will be taking this call in a second. But it is untraditional that media members have this private forum, which is instantly made so public. In the past, even if you posted on your Facebook wall, not everybody would respond. But now right. The public does. Yes, you have to be mindful of that. But at the same time, she did not say this on SportsCenter. She did say it on Twitter. It was people's choice to make an issue of this. And then the White House, I thought, had a further aggravation of the matter, to be honest, by calling for the firing of a private citizen.
That really shocked me.
I do
me.
Not agree with that.
That I don't either. That really shocked me when I saw that. I was actually in my office, and at first I went on Twitter and it said Sarah Sanders, and I was having a conversation with our news director here, Reginald Hardwick, and I thought it was the sportscaster, Sarah Sanders. And no, it was Sarah Huckabee Sanders. And I'm like, oh, my gosh, the White House talked about this? And it just shows you the magnitude of this story. 517-355-WKAR is the number to call, 517-355-9527. I want to hit our second break right now. And when we come back, we hope to kind of shift gears and bring on and welcome to the show Otis Wiley, former MSU safety from 05 to 08. Otis will weigh in on the MSU football team. A week off. It's an early bye week yet again for the Michigan State football team as they will welcome Notre Dame next week. We'll get the thoughts of Otis Wiley in just a moment. Welcome back to WKAR's Current Sports. I'm your host, Al Martin. Magic Johnson. Yeah, this was kind of surprising to me. Detroit Pistons owner, Tom Gores. He actually tried to lure Magic Johnson, former Michigan State men's basketball great who went on to have a storied career in the National Basketball Association, a Hall of Famer, one of the greatest basketball players of all time, Irvin Magic Johnson. And Gores, yeah, I saw this story. This is courtesy of MLive.com. Tom Gores tried to, bring back Magic to the Michigan area, offering him a job. And Johnson actually told Gores that he's a Laker. He basically said, look, I'm a Laker. Quote, I'm a Laker. He went on to say that he turned down jobs with the Dubs out in Golden State, the Golden State Warriors, the Knicks, and, the Detroit Pistons before taking the Los Angeles Lakers job. Johnson went on to say, I turned down three jobs. My good friends Peter and Joe bought the Golden State Warriors. They came to me, I want you to be an owner, a partner with us. I said, no, I'm a Laker. My friends bought the Detroit Pistons, Tom Gores, and a Michigan State guy, come on home. It will be a great story. I can't. I'm a Laker. I could have owned other teams, end quote. So Gores, of course, he bought the Pistons back in 2011. In April of 2014, Joe Dumars resigned as the president of basketball operations. Stan Van Gundy was hired as that role, as president of basketball operations, as well as head coach about 1 month after that. So I found that to be a bit surprising when I saw Magic Johnson on ESPN the other day. 517-355-WKAR, 517-355-9527 is the number to call. Line two right now. We've actually got Steve from Okemos that wants to chime in. Steve, how you doing?
Doing fine, Al. Comment on the Twitter problem. First off, I thought your perspective was really good. I guess Trump sort of turned Twitter into the wild, wild west. So, I mean, just if you're in a glass house, what do you expect? I mean, mm-hmm. then on a little bit of a tangent, MSU recently denied the, this right wing, speaker, a chance to be on campus and sort of being, I think that was the wrong move. I wish they would have allowed him here because.
Really?
Diversity, yeah, diversity of opinion. I think it's right to have to be on a, you know, to be able to express that opinion as well as the, because certainly liberal opinions, of which probably is my tribe, get expressed on college or campus all the time. I think it's important to have a diversity of opinions.
Well, I tell you what, I am all for diversity of opinion when it's not spewing hate. And, you know, you look at Richard Spencer, that's who you're talking about, Michigan State University, you know, denying white supremacist speaker Richard Spencer to come to this campus and, again, spew a message of venom. Again, you talk about lines being crossed. If Michigan State would have allowed Richard Spencer to speak on this campus, that would have crossed a line for me and many people, Steve. I understand freedom of speech, and you got to give equal opportunity to people out there. But if that message is one of hate, which is what the message is of Richard Spencer, then you have to put your foot down and say no. Take that crap somewhere else.
Well, you know, I guess we'll disagree there. In background of that, there was another sort of radical right guy who, I forget his name, I guess was on campus about a year ago. Mm-hmm. And so I guess I give him props for that. So anyway, thanks and good show.
Hey, thank you. Appreciate it, Steve. Again, 517-355-WKAR, 517-355-9527. Yeah, I mean, Isaac, I think that was a no-brainer. I think if Michigan State would have allowed Richard Spencer to speak here on campus, I mean, it could have got violent. Let's just put it that way, right?
And that's the reason Michigan State shut it down. That was the reason that they cited, because college campuses are obligated, especially public ones, to offer free speech to all. I think the way to approach this, and this is just my opinion, I thought Richard Spencer, in the current climate of the United States, would have been a bad move to have on campus.
For sure.
Just because it could have broken out in a violent protest. There could have been different arrests. There could have been injuries. And for me, that's not worth the risk. But I do think the best idea is to have guys like Milo Yiannopoulos, who I believe is who Steve was referring to, came a year ago, or Ann Coulter, in addition to communist left groups, and have them both come on campus as well as people in the middle and talk it out, because that's what there's not enough of today in America, actual face-to-face dialogue. Mm-hmm. If there's something like that, I'm okay. But unadulterated, propping up hate groups or groups in the other direction either. Anything that's a danger to the campus or a danger to student safety is just too much.
And that was right around, of course, Charlottesville, that incident out in Charlottesville, where you had, you know, white supremacist groups coming out and spreading their messages of hate, and that got violent. A young woman actually died that weekend. So, it's a crazy world we live in. Again, we've been talking throughout this hour about when sports and politics collide, and members of the media, in light of Jemele Hill, who decided to weigh in on the president of the United States, Jemele believing that the president of the United States is a white supremacist. 517-355-WKAR, 517-355-9527. Again, WKAR's fall fundraising campaign is underway, and your gift now makes a difference. You can support news that matters and music that inspires and sports that make you really think when you give now at WKAR.org. And when you become a sustainer of at least $10 a month, we'll thank you with a cool pair of WKAR socks. They are really stylish, I got to tell you. You can go and check those socks out and give at WKAR.org right now. Support another year of outstanding programming for the Capital Region when you give now at WKAR.org. Otis Wiley, wanted to have him on the show. I don't think we've been able to make contact with him. I know Otis right now, I think he's running around at the airport. He's traveling a lot for his job. So I talked to him yesterday, and he said he'd probably be able to spare some time while he's at the airport. But, hey, we all know how airlines and airports roll sometimes. You just never know, right? I've been down that rabbit hole a few times. So you know what? It's Thursday. We have just under 10 minutes left in the show. And each and every Thursday here on WKAR's Current Sports, we love to hop into our Current Sports time machine to take a look at exactly what happened on this particular date in sports history. We dub it Throwback Thursday.
But the Detroit Pistons have just shocked the Los Angeles Lakers.
Wing, there's a drive to left. That one is long.
Eisenman back over his step. Into the slot for Brown. Shoots. Yes. And there it goes. You never know when to expect it. Darren McCarty said before.
All right, it's a busy Throwback Thursday when this September 14th. Well, on this day back in 1903, New York Giants Red Amos no-hit St. Louis 5-0 in a five-inning game in 1905. RAC Tourist Trophy is the first run on the Isle of Man. I have no idea what the heck I just read, Isaac. Do you have any idea
Isle
what that is?
Of Man?
Isle of Man. RAC Tourist Trophy. What in the world is that? But that occurred. This has to be, I have no idea. This has to be the most random Throwback Thursday moment we've ever had in the show's history. RAC Tourist Trophy.
Tourist Trophy. And the good news is, Al, you know, we get called out once in a while because I'm 21. You're approaching 27.
Right.
You're at 26 right now. Sometimes we get called young. I don't think that's us being young. I think that's us being not 105 years old.
If anybody knows what in the world the RAC Tourist Trophy is in the first run of the Isle of a Man. That sounds like a movie. That sounds like an epic film about two gladiators going at it. I don't know what in the world that is, but that happened in 1905. In 1930, the Portsmouth Spartans play the first NFL game. How about that? The Portsmouth Spartans play the first NFL game. That happened in 1930.
Geography quiz. Where's Portsmouth?
I have no clue.
Me neither.
I have no idea where that is. I had no idea that was even a team in the NFL. 1942, the New York Yankees clinch pennant number 13. 1943, the New York Yankees clinch pennant number 14. How about that? On the same day, back-to-back years, the Yankees clinched the pennant. In 1951, New York Giants, Bob Niemans, he homers on his first two at-bats. In 1968, we've got some Detroit Tigers news. Detroit Tigers, Denny McLain's 30th victory of the season. How about that? In 1971, the Cleveland Indians and Washington Senators played 20 innings. I'm curious if anyone watched all 20. 1973, Indianapolis is awarded a WHA franchise. 1973, on that same day, 1973, U.S. President Richard Nixon signs into law a measure lifting pro football's blackout. How about that? In 1982, Trevor Baxter sets a skateboard high jump record of 5 feet, 5.7 inches. Isaac, we've never talked skateboarding or X Games here on Current Sports. I'm curious, when I was growing up, Tony Hawk was that guy, right? And you had kids from the west side of Detroit, like myself, obsessed with Tony Hawk's video game on PlayStation, so obsessed that you saw all of these African-American kids, like myself, buying skateboards and trying to be like Tony Hawk. You know, it kind of
you had a skateboard?
I had a skateboard.
I didn't
know
that.
My grandmother, I begged my grandmother to get me one. She bought me one on Christmas, and I used to ride that thing up and down the block, Joy Road, West Chicago, Granville, Piedmont, all across the west side of Detroit, man. And then it just kind of, you know, after Tony Hawk retired, it was like, all right, I'm done.
Yeah, no more Tony, no more skateboarding. No, I had one. I could not turn. I've gotten better since. I found a longboard on the sides. But exactly, Lil Wayne is the guy who brought it to New Orleans, not Tony Hawk. And gosh knows how that happened because that's random. But nonetheless, Lil Wayne brought it to New Orleans.
How about that? All right, 1986 at Royal Stadium, Kansas City Royals rookie outfielder. Get this, Bo Jackson. It's his first major league home run. Bo was so good. The 475-foot hit by the NFL running back is the longest homer ever hit in the ballpark. Man, he was just a freak of nature. Bo knows. Check it out. If you haven't seen it, Isaac, have you seen
it? Unbelievable.
That was great. Really, really good 30 for 30. 1987, the Toronto Blue Jays beat the Baltimore Orioles 18-3. The Blue Jays set a major league record of 10 home runs. Orioles player Cal Ripken Jr. sets a record consecutive inning streak of 8,243. Talk about durability, right? Spanning 904 games. Very cool stuff there. In 1989, the Calgary Flames become the first NHL team to play in the USSR with a win, a 4-2 win, I should say. And in 1994, lastly, we have, due to the Major League Baseball player strike, owners vote to cancel the remainder of the season, including the World Series. How about that? All right, well, before we say goodbye to you all and, you know, take a 23-hour break, I want to invite to the show, really briefly here, another one of our production assistants. We've been introducing you guys to our new PAs as well as reporters for the semester, and we have a reporter and production assistant whose first day is today. I just want her to introduce herself and also talk about what she will be covering for us here at Current Sports in the coming months. Caitlin, how are you?
I'm good. How are you?
I am fantastic. So, Caitlin, just introduce yourself, talk about where you're from, and what will you be covering for us?
Well, I'm Caitlin, and I'm from Grand Haven, Michigan, and I'm going to be covering MSU club hockey. And I'm excited. I was raised in a hockey family, so hockey's big from where I'm from. So
it's going to be
a thrill ride.
And I, you know, I was looking at Caitlin's laptop, you know, before we did today's show, and it just filled with a ton of hockey stickers. And you actually had, speaking of the Calgary Flames, you had, along with the Red Wings, the Calgary Flames logo on your laptop. And are you a fan?
Kind of. They were my second team at one point, and then they kind of dropped off, but.
Gotcha.
It's there.
All right. Well, Caitlin, welcome to the team. Glad to have you.
Thank you.
All right. We'll be back at it same time, same place on tomorrow's Current Sports. Thanks for listening. And as always, be easy, people.